A couple weeks ago, we started a series titled The Holy Spirit in You. And we learned on week one that the Holy Spirit is a GPS system for each of our lives. That when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, who is the third person of the Trinity, amazing things can happen. He can help direct us, guide us, and lead us to live a life that honors God Himself. He empowers us. He counsels us. It's available to us if we want Him to do that. And so we've studied how the Holy Spirit is an active presence in our lives. And when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. Now, our job is to listen to the voice and the promptings of the Spirit connected to the Word of God and let Him lead us. And as we are obedient, here's what happens. He fills us repeatedly. And the Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, lives, guides, and directs us into the best life we can enjoy. So today we're talking about how the Holy Spirit draws us. And there's a verse in John 6:44. It's in your notes. Would you read that with me? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I want you to circle the word draw. The Holy Spirit, someone draws him. See, you are here today because the Spirit of God has done a work in your life. God has been working in your heart, we will find out, for many years. Many times we don't even understand it or perceive it, but He's working always behind the scenes in a way that we don't even understand. You may be praying for a loved one, and they have not responded. What they need is the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, to draw them. And that's what the Spirit's assignment is. So Jesus said in this verse, no one comes to the Father except they are drawn to Him. So there's a role that the Holy Spirit plays that I hope this morning we will further and better understand what that is. Now, in your notes, the word draw, it means this. It's an attractional influence. The Holy Spirit is a persuader. The Holy Spirit pulls us. The Holy Spirit draws us by inner power, and it's like following behind. He wants us to follow behind His leading. So the Spirit of God is always at work in each of our lives. So today, I want to share with you four simple thoughts about how this works, how we are drawn to God by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, point number one in your notes, let's get started. Here's what it is. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit draws us is to understand that He yearns over us from before we were born. This may be a new insight to some, for others, perhaps not. But I want you to understand today, the Holy Spirit yearns over your soul and life to bring you closer to Christ. Let's dig in and find some examples. Read with me Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5 in your notes. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Grasp this concept. Jeremiah said, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, before he was born, God knew him. Before you were born, God knew you. And I would suggest that the Holy Spirit was yearning over your life even then to draw you to a place of accepting grace and faith in Christ. As a matter of fact, it says here that Jeremiah had a call on his life before he was even born. Do you realize you have the same thing? Before you were born, God had a call on your life, and he still does. And so we respond to this as the Holy Spirit opens our heart and understanding in connecting us to Christ. So in James 4, there's some amazing verses about how the Spirit of God yearns over us. So let's read together those verses in your notes. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking of no purpose that says, the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love? Here's what it's saying. When we love the world, we are an enemy of God. When we come to faith in Christ, the world becomes our enemy. We don't want to be a part of it. And it says in this text in the Amplified Bible, the Spirit of God yearns for your heart to be drawn closer to God himself. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say that the Spirit yearns with a jealous love. Can you imagine the Spirit of God? It hones in on your life, and he has a jealous love for you. It's a healthy jealousy. You know what it is? He so longs for and yearns for you to somehow live in relationship with God. He says it's a deep-seated yearning of the Spirit of God. And so I want us to understand this morning that the Spirit of God yearns for your life. I mean, this is a commitment from God himself. He yearns for your life to live in relationship with God the Father. Now, you might ask the question, how do we know that and why should he? I think the answer is found in Genesis chapter 1, when God was about to make man. It's in your notes. Let me read it for you. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our own image, after our likeness. You know why God, the Spirit, yearns for you? You and I are made in his image. There's a part of God in you that only God can fill, and the Spirit yearns for that to happen. So make no mistake of the value of who you are to him. He yearns for you to get it so that the GPS system of the Holy Spirit can live in you and through you and direct your life into victory, into deliverance, into freedom, into fulfillment, into the abundant life that God wants you to experience. It's an amazing thought about Jeremiah, who said, before I was born, I was called and appointed to be a prophet. And I want to stop right there. Before you were born, God had a call on your life, and he still does today. He's got a purpose that only you can fulfill. And you know what? The Spirit of God yearns to draw you to that relationship in a more intimate way, to give you something that we could not and cannot get from ourselves. So the Spirit draws us. He yearns for us to come into relationship with God. Here's a quote. God's desire is to bring us into the realm where he is our protector, provider, teacher, and Lord. I mean, that's it. He yearns for it. This is not an optional commitment. God is all in that we experience the fullness of God for each of us. Number two, the second thing that happens when the Spirit draws us unto himself is this. He convicts us in regard of our need for forgiveness. Read with me the verse John 16, 8, 10a. It's on the back of your notes. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit has another purpose in our life. It's called conviction. It's called this sense of knowing that we have failed and we're separated from God. We generally think of conviction in a negative way. May I suggest that when we feel convicted by the Spirit of God, when we've done something wrong, it's a good thing. You know why? God's got something better for us if we respond to that prompting. And so the Spirit of God convicts us. He draws us. He yearns for us to come into relationship with God, but he'll convict us. So going forward, this has happened to me many times. I blew it. I had a bad attitude. I said something that wasn't kind, or I reacted. I get convicted. It's a good thing. You know why? God has something better for me. And so the writer here says the purpose of, one of God's purposes is he'll always lead us into something better if we're open to it. Here's a quote. Conviction of sin is God's way of inviting you to restore fellowship with him. I want you to view conviction differently from this point. Think of it as a positive thing. You know why? He's got something better for us. It's called grace and mercy. And so we find that the assignment of the Spirit is to draw us, to he yearns over us, but then he convicts us to show us where we have failed to deal with our sins. Number three, the third thing that the Spirit does in drawing us is this. He cleanses us. He cleanses us. Read with me in your notes, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when the conviction comes and the prompting of the Spirit says, we know we've done wrong, if we confess that, if we come into agreement with God, he will cleanse us. You see, we all need cleansing. You know, the past 3 days, a lot of people put a lot of time and energy into the pavilion. And I tell you, by the end of the day, you're hot and sweaty and dirty. Nothing beats a great shower. You know, you just get washed off. You feel refreshed. The same is true in our personal lives. We need to be washed on a regular basis. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our innermost feelings. We need to be washed by his word. You know why? It makes us feel a whole lot better. We are cleansed, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit. Here's a quote. Life is a daily cleansing. Negativity must be washed away. If you wish to attract positive experiences to your life, life needs a daily shower of grace. Maybe even more than once. And so life needs to be a cleansing that continues day after day. You know why? It puts us in a place where God can give us something better when we release either the negativity or the sins and we're cleansed from it. He will give us something better. So number one, he yearns for us. Number two, he convicts us. It's a positive thing. Number three, he cleanses us, which leads us to number four. He grants us a new confidence. He grants us a new confidence. Read with me 1 John 5:14 and 15 in your notes. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. I want to talk about confidence. When we allow God's Spirit to draw us and convict us, and we confess it, and we experience cleansing, we cross a line into a place of feeling confident before God. That's what mercy and grace does. God's people needs higher levels of confidence in today's living. We just need to live more victoriously because that's where God wants us to live life out of. Confidence is something that is acquired through grace, that God is on our side and I'm in a good place in life. Read with me Hebrews 4:16 in your notes. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. When we leave here today, I want you to leave with a greater level of confidence. What is confidence? It's having a sense of boldness in life that everything is good between myself and God himself. And when we go through the conviction and confessing process, we cross a line into a land called confidence. And God wants his children to live with confidence and boldness going forward. He wants to build it into your life. It's layer by layer, brick by brick. He builds us up so that we have more assurance of who we are in God's grace. He wants you to have a high dose of confidence of who he is in your life. Here's a couple quotes. Here's the first one. Confidence in God is my real power source. I'll just say for myself, there are times in life when I don't always get it right. My confidence falters. But when I get in a place where I feel connected to God and I'm attached to his word, let me tell you, I feel greatly empowered. Do we not? That's where God wants us to live. We have a lot of problems in our world, but confidence is something he will invest and somehow download into any person's life who responds to the promptings of the Spirit, who obeys them. God will just pump confidence into any person's heart, and that is our real source of living. You can get through a lot in life when you know all is good due to God in ourselves. I mean, that's just how it is. That is power. It's confident living. Here's another quote. Faith is simply confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It's confidence in who God is and who he says what he'll do for us when we come to him. I got to go back to the definition. The word draw means an attractional influence. The Holy Spirit is pursuing you. You may not even realize it. He is after you. He yearns for you. He longs for you. He's been at it for as many years as you are old, and we don't even realize it. That's the power of the third person of the Trinity. And you know what he wants to give us? He wants to give us confidence in living. If there's ever a time where God's people need to rise up and live above the fray of the world we live in, with hurricanes, with wars, with all the stuff going on in our economy, today is the day. When you know all is good between you and God, it gives you boldness and power and confidence to live in a victorious way. So the Holy Spirit's role is to draw us. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except they are drawn to him. You may be here today and maybe you have Christ in your life, maybe you don't. But understand, the Spirit is always speaking to lead us into that relationship with him. In a few moments, Pastor Jack's going to come and lead us in the communion ritual and we're going to partake. But I want to walk us through a few steps. And I want you to leave here today having a new level of confidence. And so would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And I want you to open your heart to God's Spirit. And right now, he is yearning over your life to draw you unto himself. Just believe that. Open your heart to it. and he will be right there to speak to you. The second thing the Spirit does is he convicts us. It's a good thing. It's positive. Maybe you're here today and there's something you need to confess. You need to come clean before God. I want you to take just a few moments right now and say, God, here's my heart. Here's my life issues. Come and just speak to me where I need to make adjustments in life. He'll do that. Just ask him. Number three, it says if we confess where the Spirit has convicted us, we can be cleansed. Take a spiritual shower this morning by confessing to God right now anything in your life that you need to let go of. And number four, when we take those steps, we then can have confidence through grace that everything is good between ourselves and God. I want you to lay hold of that confidence of saying, it's by faith. Say, God, I'm going to believe you that you have forgiven me. I let it go. I turn from it. I repent of it and allow Christ to live in me through the empowerment of the Spirit. Claim a new level of confidence going forward. Heavenly Father, you've heard the prayers of your people. And I pray for each person here and those online that you would somehow build the confidence level in each of our hearts, that we will somehow be empowered in a new way to cross a line through grace of forgiveness and cleansing and live in such a place that we feel secure and confident in who we are in our relationship with you. Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you're a God that delights to be the game changer for any of us to enter into the deeper calling on our lives that you have had on us from birth and before. Bless each heart here with this new sense of confidence as each one trusts in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.